Hey, this is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5, The Source, from the UNLV campus. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer. Got a little chuckle out of Taylor Byrne because that's the KUNV theory or motto, 91.5, The Source, from the UNLV campus, even though we tape right here at the Las Vegas Sun buildings.
So don't lie to our listeners like yes. That.
The LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. A lot on the agenda today, guys. Jim Livingood, the UNLV athletic director, surprisingly resigns last week.
Retires.
I'm sorry. That was a wrong phrase of mine. Retires.
Well, yeah. Official word is retire.
Official word retire. That was a Freudian slip on my part because it's a shocking news, and we're going to get to that. But earlier, I kind of teased you guys a little bit where I was listening to the radio, and I had a song that I think you guys would be interested in. And here's the thing, folks. Case and Taylor like similar music, right?
We cross over in certain areas.
A lot closer than you.
Probably. Yeah, but Kiefer's like main thing. Would you call the overarching hardcore?
I mean, that's my favorite, but I listen to everything.
Tell me the kind of genre you listen to, Keith, because you're kind of our
that
music.
You just said hardcore.
Hardcore, yeah, what?
But I mean,
hardcore is a genre.
Isn't there like hardcore rock and hardcore rap?
I guess you could say hardcore rap, but really hardcore is like a. If you want it to be really specific, if that's too. Less specific, if that's too specific for you, the two main types of music I listen to are punk rock and metal.
Metal. Okay. Yeah. And what about you, TB?
Mostly like indie rock, alternative.
I like indie
see,
a ton.
I
like
think
a lot
I'm
of
closer
indie
to Taylor
too.
Than you guys.
I don't know. I like to listen to a lot of
anyways, this is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. We're talking music right now. And I know you guys have heard of this group. They're real trendy and popular. 30 Seconds to Mars, right? You've heard of it. Do you like them, TB? Would you listen to them?
I've listened to them in the past, but I'm not a fan.
Really?
Yeah.
What group
that was exactly like the type of band I thought you would
hey, you
bring
want,
up.
You want to tie it to sports? No. The lead singer once played Steve Prefontaine in a movie.
Okay, what genre is this, though?
They could
pop rock?
I know they refer to themselves as space rock. I know.
Yeah, about that.
Well, I like that song, Bury Me. That's all I got.
I thought there were two bands.
I couldn't find the other one. I forgot it.
What's the song like?
Not sure. I can't remember. But you guys don't like. You know that song, Bury Me, right?
No.
No way.
I don't think so. I mean, they're on like album 5 or 6 now.
I think it's on The Kill. Or maybe the song is The Kill.
The Kill. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Anyways, I can't believe that. You guys and I, and it's not because I'm like 10 years older than you guys. It's just you guys are very passionate about your music. You go out of your way to listen to it, to attend shows. I'm not a big concert goer, as you guys know.
We have one notable overlap, though. I don't know if you remember this, but I wouldn't make this decision unless I had a gun to my head. But if I had a gun to my head and someone made me pick a favorite band, I would probably pick the Deftones because I think they've had the most extended stretch of phenomenal albums that most bands can never match. And you love probably their most popular single ever, Change. I sent you a video the last time I saw Deftones.
Yeah, and I listened to the video. Because, I mostly listen to my Christian rock stuff, so... It is what it is.
From your party days.
My party days. When I had that iPod, I had like 15 songs in the iPod. Just
over and over.
Over and over.
And
but
I know you had at least one good one then.
Yes. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. We usually talk sports for the entire half hour. Today we interject a little music on 91.5 The Source. But Taylor, you broke the story. Jim Livingood.
Livingood,
same thing. Out as the UNLV athletic director, his last day, the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. What to make of it? Like you, I definitely know that he is not retiring to go watch his kids play youth football.
It's not the only thing. Retirement was coming in the somewhat near future. For Jim, so this, the way he says, spend more time with his grandkids, that's not an out and out lie. Like that will be something that he's doing, but this was so thrown together. This was not the way he would have gone out. This was not planned. Like he maybe says that it was. President Neil Smatris and Jim Livingood. Both say that they get along, that everything's great with that, but nobody really believes that, and nobody should believe that. That's not the case. I have many sources on their relationship, and that it was very hostile at times. It was difficult working. This isn't entirely unique to UNLV by any means, especially with budget problems. The battle between academics and athletics exists at, you know, pretty much every university in the country. And when there's less money to go around, that just becomes, you know, it can be an even more bitter fight between both sides. And just, I think there were maybe some things that that Jim was asked to do that that he didn't want to do, and so that may have been the reason that he decides to go out this way. Neil did say that Jim will be working essentially as like a consultant with the university through the end of the year, 6 months. It is very possible, and they have said that there is no buyout. That could be the de facto buyout right there. I don't know how much. I really doubt you'll see those two working together in much capacity. It just doesn't. It doesn't fit with everything I've heard about their working relationship and the way that that this all kind of went down. It's just not. It's not what it is at face value. Everybody knows that. Like, if you really think that Jim woke up on Monday and just decided to retire hastily on Wednesday, then, you know, I'm not going to be able to convince you otherwise, because you're just not living in reality.
I'm not living in reality half the time, and I even know that he just didn't wake up Monday and decide to retire. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. My theory, and I wrote this in my column, was that Jim makes $350 per year, which in terms of athletic director salaries is very good for UNLV. And he's athletic director of the year on multiple occasions, very accomplished, very respected, great fundraiser. And I just don't know who UNLV could get at the same rate that's going to continue to pass the torch on, like Jim's done. And for me, that's why it kind of seems odd. And Taylor, I understand that arguments are commonplace at universities between athletics and academics. And I know that, you know, there's been the problems with the football program. And I know that UNLV now failed. I totally get that.
You keep putting a punctuation on that. That's not dead.
Okay.
It's not done.
It's in neutral. Is that fair to say?
Well, right now, Neil is actually up in Carson City, or at least was at the end of the week, trying to get that tax district passed, which would, you know, push it forward. Like, that thing is delayed. It is not dead. But,
okay.
You know, that is all tied into this. So is the contentious relationship between the Thomas and Mack Center and athletics. You know, that's maybe even a bigger part of it. There's just a lot of competing interests working against each other when, you know, people probably from afar would say, well, why aren't they all working towards the same thing? That's just not the way that it's going, you know, and that's just not the way it is right now.
Okay, I always hit the panic button and exaggerate, and you guys know that. You love that about me. Tell me if I'm exaggerating here. Is there any possible way that UNLV, which we know is financially strapped,
mm-hmm.
We know that what I'm trying to say is that, is there a potential for UNLV athletics that might be taping it together right now for this whole thing to explode and for there maybe to be a financial crisis or maybe some worse off programs than there already are financially?
Yeah, that's possible. I think, Jim in his little farewell presser with like 20 media people cramped into his office, which was another indication of why this was not, you know, when Jim was going to retire, it was going to be in front of a nice UNLV background, family on hand, all that type of stuff. This was so thrown together. But when we were having that meeting, one thing he hinted at about referring to the UNLV Arizona game and the possible payout that would come from that, that's the football game, September 7th, expected to be announced anytime that it's moving to University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. But the money from that, he hinted at could, you know, help stave off some future, you know, either layoffs or program cuts, things like that. And I think it's very possible that one of the first things that the new AD has to do is cut some sports. a sport, multiple. I think that's a very real possibility. You know, and I think I don't want to speculate on which ones that might be, anything like that. But that's certainly, if that's, you know, kind of what you're talking about as far as the being worse off and kind of a panic scenario, because anytime you're cutting any sport, it's obviously not a good sign at all. You know, it's the same type of thing where if you're having to move your football game away, you know, you're essentially your marquee home game, and you have to move it. That says a lot about where you are as an athletics program. And, you know, if potentially they have to cut any sports, that says even more, and it's worse.
I thought, obviously, when he said that really it caught me, and I'm like, is he saying that just for effect?
It's all just kind of it's a bit speculative right now, and I don't want to go too far down that road, but I think it is possible. Because we're figuring out Jim had his contract through the end of 2015, $350,000 a year. That's not something that you just, you know, walk away from necessarily, unless you have pretty good reason. Now, I'm sure he's doing okay, but that's still a lot to leave on the table. I think it's possible. I'm not saying this happened, but I think it's possible that maybe he was told that that's the only solution that we're going to try as far as fixing some budget things is, you know, you have to cut a sport, and he wouldn't want to do it. I think that's a possible scenario. I don't know that occurred, but that's one of many things that could have led to this.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking about Jim living good.
Live and good. I always thought it would be easier if it was living good, because you're just like, oh, that AD is living good.
Yeah, well, unless name is like John Brown or Pete Smith, I'm going to get
then you're going to screw it up.
Taylor Byrne, Ray Brewer, Case Kiefer.
I bet you messed up my name at least once before I came here.
You've probably put an S on my name once or twice. Everybody does.
Or am I just like
Taylor Burns?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I just figured hearing you announce names, I just figured at least once or twice you probably called me Chase or Casey before I got here. But no?
No, but I mean, I think jokingly,
I think we all call you Casey at certain points.
Jokingly, a lot of people.
Ever since I heard Casey. Your mom call you Casey, I busted out every once in a
while. Your mom called you Casey?
Yeah.
Like only affectionately? In the world.
Or? Well, yeah.
I don't know. It's just what she calls me.
All the time?
Affectionately, yeah. Angrily, wow. Passively.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. And your fiance calls you Case? Or does she have a special name for you?
I don't know. She's more
Honey Bunny?
I'd say she more calls me Kiefer than anything, which is kind of weird. Or yeah. Keith.
Is she going to take your last name?
Yeah.
Is that a high five moment, really?
Yeah. No, some women hyphenate.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Okay. So are you going to call her Kiefer then?
That's why I said it was weird.
That would be strange.
That's why I said it was strange. Exactly.
Yeah, I think she uses probably Keith.
Yeah,
more than anything else.
That sounds about right.
Has it always been Keefer?
We need to get her to start putting Chief in front of that.
No. You don't like Chief Keef, right?
No, I don't like Chief
Keef. Love Sosa. Is that guy still making music?
Who?
Chief Keef.
I don't know.
Was he arrested?
I think he got arrested, but I don't know if
he got arrested.
I'm sure he got off of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking UNLV Athletics. What's next? How's the search going to go? When can we get a new athletic director? All questions we've heard from the fans and questions, Taylor, that I don't really know if UNLV has a concrete answer on right now.
Well, I mean, the search committee is going to be put together this week. Neil said he's not going to use an outside firm, which is a good PR move, because if you're dumping money on that, which most people agree is kind of a waste of money in the first place, and you're a program that can't afford to spend money as it is, that would have looked bad. And so supposed to be a search committee this week. Neil said he would like to have the replacement in place by June 30th when Jim leaves. That's, you know, I'm not sure how reasonable that is. I would think that if this if Neil had any idea that this was coming, which he kind of hints that he did, because he said Jim over the last year had, you know, kind of talked about retirement and things like that. But so we may have a few candidates in mind, get them in for interviews, set that up. And it's going to be – you're not going to find somebody with the national clout of Jim Livengood. You're just not. And probably not somebody who can fundraise as well. So what you're looking for, I'm not entirely sure as far as something different. You know, and like I said, it could be possible that the new guy immediately has to make some very unpopular decisions. So I think you could be looking for someone who it can just do some damage control and can just kind of handle things in the best way possible in the face of bad news, basically. But that the timeline is there. I think their ideal is to be ready by the time Jim leaves. And, you know, like I said, that's how reasonable that is, how long that would take, who would be the possible interim if that doesn't happen. You know, there are some names within the athletics department, but based on what I've heard on the relationship between Neil and those people, those wouldn't happen. So that's why I think it's more likely than not that there's somebody either in place or named and ready to take over pretty soon after Jim leaves.
And obviously this decision and the timeline, it has a high impact financially for UNLV. Jim's got his hands in a lot of things, especially what he was talking to us during the presser was the streaming of games.
Mm-hmm. The Mountain West Digital Network and monetizing that with advertising and things like that. And it's no secret, the football program's lack of success has been, you know, kind of the biggest black mark on his tenure. It's not like it was a great program when he took over or anything like that, but he hired Bobby, who's won 6 games over the past 3 years, and he still is, you know, the biggest Bobby supporter not named Ray Brewer that I've encountered. At least, you know, that's what he says. And so that failure of the program to, like, kind of even get to mediocrity is making UNLV miss out on a lot of potential revenue. And so that's, you know, that's one major hit where if they were able to turn around something with that, I'm not talking about like being a great program, but just being okay, where you can get some more out of gate receipts, you can, you know, get more money out of game day, basically. And then possibly with the national TV, the way that the Mountain West's new TV deal is structured, they give $300,000 payouts to a nationally televised game weekday and $500,000 on Saturdays. And that is basically ABC, Fox, NBC, ESPN, ESPN2. I may have missed one, but it's the major ones. ESPNU does not count. CBS Sports Network does not count. And so far, UNLV does not have any of those. They've got 3 flex games right now. So far, 6 games are slated to be on quote-unquote national TV. It's like Big Ten Network, ESPNU, and CBS Sports Network. And then they have 3 flex games that will be announced basically like 12 days before which ESPN affiliated network they're going to be on. So there's potential, you know, money to be made there if the football team has early season success. If one of those games, and one of them is the Battle for the Cannon, would be put on, you know, the national platform, that would be huge for the program.
Wouldn't that be awesome to get your rear end handed to you on national TV by
Reno? I thought Ray Brewer believes that they're going to go up to Reno and win.
Part of me does, but the other part of me doesn't want the whole world to see Reno destroy us. Let me
tell
you.
That's the smart part of it.
I don't think it would be – I'm not going to pick UNLV to win any road games this year. I'll make that statement right now.
You're not going out on a limb, though.
I know, but I don't think that's a game where they get, like, completely blown out.
Yeah.
At least, you know, sitting here looking at the teams right now, I don't think that's the case.
The new coach of Reno, I got to give him credit. Polian, he's really trying to sell – Reno is Nevada's university, and he's down here recruiting. I've seen, you know, his staff in multiple gyms several times, and they're even doing a Nevada football camp here in the summer.
Do you see them more than you see the UNLV coaching staff?
I think everybody. The UNLV coaching staff is nowhere to be found locally.
What is that?
That's ridiculous. Reno has a better presence than...
The new Reno coach has been to Gorman, and he's been on the job, what, 3 months, 4 months?
It's five or six months.
He's been on the job more in the 5 months than Bobby's been in almost 4 years at Gorman. He's been to Gorman more than Bobby has. And like I said, I've probably... When I went to Green Valley to do something on Terrell Crosby, who ended up committing to Oregon, Reno was there. When I was at Vegas Friday, Reno was there. I've been to Gorman maybe four times this offseason. Reno's been there three of the four times.
What about the conspiracy theory that Reno coaches just know your schedule ahead of time and show up there so that you'll say exactly what you just said?
Well, and the weird thing is that when I talk to the coaches, they tell me the same thing. Reno is everywhere, and UNLV is never here.
There you go.
Well, we've already established you as the biggest UNLV football defender in the world. So what's your defense for this?
I don't know how to explain it. That's heartbreaking. But then I talked to Bobby, and he basically says, and he told me straight up, because I've got a good relationship with Bobby, he says the only player Reno's beaten me for one guy the whole time I've been here. We've been on the same guy whatever amount of times, and they've beaten me one time.
And then he was
Hassan Henderson, who Bobby was like, listen, you won't play quarterback for me. I'll make you a tight end or wide receiver. Now Poling's, bought his daddy in for the weekend, and his daddy said, oh, we think you could be an NFL wide receiver. And the kid's like, oh, I want to play wide receiver. And he let him in catches in the spring game. So it just works out like that. You see the writing on the wall. But I don't know. Part of me, and you guys know me well, LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, I want to see UNLV football win more than I think anybody in this city, except for Bobby probably.
Yeah. Maybe his wife.
And his wife, who likes it here. No, but I just don't know why UNLV football doesn't win. I want to say, well, the stadium is a part of factor.
It's a factor.
I would think that they would try to recruit a little better locally. Or try to recruit somebody from California that could run fast. I've always said maybe that's just me.
Like half the roster is California.
I know, again, but it's the 50 slowest guys in California. All right?
Beat you in a 40.
Who couldn't? I know we harp on this, but is there – if you look at the guys on the roster, point to me how many of them run 4.6 or faster.
I honestly don't care about 40 times. Like, I understand.
40 time is not football.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Okay, well, when Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State are faster than the other teams, why is that?
Alabama's not faster than the other teams. I would bet you that
their offensive line is just amazing.
Let's have a 40 times from West Virginia versus Alabama or Georgia last year. West Virginia would kill all of them. What did they do? They went like 7-5.
7-5 here would get you in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's true, but I'm all right, fine.
Let's try it. Okay, Alabama, maybe it works. Get some big guys up front, push them around, get some hard runners, play amazingly swarming defense, and you win. Here, well, first of all, UNLV
is an entirely different. Like, yeah, there's no comparison between those two teams.
This was your first year covering UNLV football, Taylor. Was this the worst defensive college football team you've ever seen in comparison? You've seen Northern Iowa. You've seen Kansas. Whoever else you've seen along the way. This team defensively, A, they had players that just weren't D1 football players. B, they had no spirit. C, they couldn't defend a Nerf football flag game at Sunset Park. And this is
Do you remember the screen passes at Utah State?
Just
the two plays that just broke that game open.
Kerwin Williams, yep. The guy UNLV didn't recruit.
Got drafted.
He was undersized, but what did he do, Case, real well?
It was fast.
That's right. He was fast.
I just
speed kills, baby.
I don't follow UNLV football as closely as you two, obviously, but I can remember the couple games I went to last year. They have a couple pretty darn fast guys.
Marcus Sullivan.
Yeah, Sullivan's fast.
He cannot catch the ball, bro. Anything.
But he's fast. So all that matters is if you're fast, get him a reverse. Put him in the backfield. He's fast.
That's right.
The kid can run.
I would have tried at least with Sullivan to get the ball.
I'm pretty sure I saw some like trick play attempts like that, and they were awful.
Don't they have one other really fast guy other than Sullivan?
They had the real small slot receiver that I tried to – he was in Bobby's doghouse, the JC kid. He graduated last year.
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
I'm going to find his name out. But
and speed is not the one thing holding them back.
Oh, no. I agree with you on that.
Especially this particular team coming up here, again, just like last year. I think you ought to be built around the run and just get some possession receivers.
Anthony Davis. Anthony Williams, my guy.
Your boy Anthony Williams. Devontae Davis. You're just combining those two
Yes.
into a number one pick in the NBA. NFL, you know, and out of the
NFL too.
Anthony Davis?
You said NBA.
Yeah, because Anthony Davis plays in the NBA.
Oh, I thought you were combining the two athletes.
No.
Okay. For your team, the Hornets.
But yeah, and then you know, I think the tight end position ought to be like really key for this. Just get 10-yard passes, easy passes, and run the ball a lot.
Here's the thing, and we'll be talking UNLV football, LasVegasSun.com sports talk every Tuesday, 7 a.m., probably through the summer. Right now, they are losers, okay? And to become a winner, that mentality is just not, oh, I want to win. Let's go smack them in the mouth. Something has to happen where you become a winning team. I don't know how that happens. I don't know if UNLV knows how it happens.
Yeah, I'm not sure Bobby knows.
Okay, but somehow, you know what I'm saying? It's like my Pittsburgh Pirates. Huge Pirate fan. They've had 19 straight losing seasons. The last 2 years, they were over 500 in July. Last year, they were 13 games over 500. And what happened? They couldn't figure out how to close the deal because they were used to losing. They were used to planning vacations in the first week in October instead of planning to play in the playoffs. Okay?
Well, now they got Jason Grilley.
Now, grilled cheese, baby. Woo! Here we go. Friday. I'm going to the game Friday. They're playing the Astros, and I'm fired up.
Yeah, they ought to be able to win that.
I hope so. I hope so. They'll be huge favorites. I hope. I'll be calling one of you guys to put a wager down just to let you know. Somebody's going to have to go to the book. I'll even give you the money ahead of time.
I can do it on my phone.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that awesome how it works? It is. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk 91.5 KUNV, The Source. Talking all things UNLV today, and talked a little music because I guess it's a music station, and I like music, you like music, and UNLV. Here's my last question on the whole UNLV thing. Does this affect Hoop in any way?
Not especially. Like, they're just kind of off on their own. Obviously, you know, the relationship between the coaches and whoever the prospective new AD is, like, that will end up mattering. But, you know, right now basketball is just kind of left alone to do their own thing. And, you know, pretty soon we'll start having the new kids on campus and ramping up for that year with you know, kind of the AAU stuff in the summer and everything. So they're just kind of off on their own a little bit right now.
They're off on their own. And I think the model that Jim put in place with basketball is, you know, they've got good coaches and they're not paying a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least he's not paying a lot.
Not
for
comparatively,
his coaches.
Yeah. I mean, it's about $1 million total from the last year's staff, like all four of them.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's a good deal
for 52 wins over two seasons. Obviously, a lot of people, you know, you can point to the failings just as easily as you can point to the successes. But overall, I think for the money, you would take that and hope that they can learn from it and get better in year three.
Final four or bust.
I didn't say that. Ray Brewer said that.
Always an optimist here on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. For Case and Taylor, I'm Ray, and we thank everybody for listening.